Okay, today's seminar we have not announced the topic of because I wasn't quite sure if we were going to do it or not, or how we were going to do it, or what we were going to do with it. When I was young, when I was about 12 years old, I was kind of like a loner. In my home, there were seven children, and I didn't like bond with them. I kind of stayed on the edges. And I would go down to the school play yard and swing on the swings at night, and I'd eat a pint of buttered almond ice cream. And I would talk to God. And the conversation was, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more going on than what I see happening in my home, with my family, with my parents. I want to know the truth. I want to know what this is really all about. I want to know the truth about life. And that went on like that period of my life, right in there where I was spending that time, just me and God, talking to God. And then I grew up and I went through life and I did life. I got married and family and ruined all that and went through that educational process. During that time, I was a Southern Baptist for a while, was a Jehovah's Witness for a while. I used to sell the magazines on the corner, and if people didn't have a dime, I would give them the magazine anyway. And I used to go and knock on the doors, and go around to be a Jehovah's Witness, and that's one reason I'll never be a door-to-door salesman, was that. And then as I grew older, I got into the Church of Christ, and I went through that educational process, in that they're the ones who are right in their religion because they use only the New Testament, and they're right and everyone else is wrong. And I did that for a while, like investigating spirituality and religion and trying to find what was really going on. Then in 1981, in January, I got to go to India and be with Babaji. And Leonard Orr was a devotee of Babaji, and I had set it up that if I was supposed to go to see Babaji. I told a friend of mine that if Leonard Orr called me before they went on their journey to go see Babaji, that I was to go with them. Now, Leonard Orr had never called me at any time in my life, and I've been rebirthing and done trainings with him and everything for years, but he never called me. They were leaving on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas, to go to India, their trip was. And I had declared that if he called me, that I would go, that I was supposed to go. And 2 days before Christmas, Leonard Orr called me. And I get on the phone, and it's Leonard Orr, and he says, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just getting ready for Christmas." And he said, "Well, I have this guy in Europe who wants to come to California for 6 months to do my six-month training. And he's looking for someone from here to move to Europe for 6 months and take over his clientele and handle his clientele for him while he's over here being trained more in rebirthing. I'm inviting you to be the one to go to Europe for 6 months to be his replacement." And I said, "Well, I thank you for the invitation, but now that you've called me, I have to go to India with you." So I had just a couple of days to get my passport, get my tickets, get everything handled, and I flew off to India. And we went to Switzerland first, and we did this rebirthing training with about 48 people from all over Europe, many who could not even speak English. It was really quite an experience there. And we went to India, and I got to be with Babaji. But I didn't relate to Babaji. He's written up an autobiography of a yogi and all that. And Leonard was a real devotee. But I didn't really connect with Babaji. So I only stayed 5 days. And then I told Leonard, "Look, I've got what I need here. This is not it for me." And I left and I came home. And then years later, in 85, Barbara and I got invited to go see Sai Baba. And we went. And you all know pretty much about how that's gone. But next month, it's a year ago, that I went to India. Barbara stayed home, and Rose and Elizabeth went with me. And we did have an interview with Sai Baba. And Sai Baba asked me what I did. And I tried to tell him in broken English, because I could hardly talk, what I did, in three words or more. And I started out with something like, "Well, I do relationship seminars and classes and marriage classes." And he says, no. He says, merge with God. Merge with God. merger with God. And he's looking at Elizabeth and Rose, merger with God, merge. And I'm not like even getting what he's like going over my head. Now, the question I had for him going into this interview was about immortality. Because we teach immortality, and I had not heard him speak much about immortality in his seminars and, you know, in his talks that he gives. So I wanted to know how he felt about what we were, you know, about immortality. And so then he gets right down in my face and he says, merge with God, immortality. And that's what our seminar is about today. I've never done this seminar before. Well, we haven't done most of the seminars we do in the one-day seminar before. But I'm nervous about this seminar because how? Why? How? What? What is merging with God? How do we get there? You know, we've all been like educated through all of the different religious belief systems that we have, and we've all come through different life experiences that we have, and you know, it started to kind of to sink in that there is a possibility here. Now, how am I going to do this? And you know, Bobby, you're going to have to show me and guide me. And it's almost a year now, and I think it's about time I got more involved in this process here with merging with God. At the same time, a friend of mine is writing a book about God. He's writing a book about God being a radiant being, a radioactive radiant being. And so I was visiting with him this week. We had some time to be together. And we were going through this whole process, this whole conversation, this whole evolvement happened. So I'm going to share with you where we're at right now about this. You don't have to believe this or believe any of it, or, you know, if you resonate with it, if it feels good, if it feels right to you, you can kind of go along with it, okay? So I'm going to share with basically where we're at with it so far. What is matter? What is matter? What is this chair, really? What is this? Yes. It's energy, but what is energy?
A molecular vibration.
It's a vibration and rest. A combination of vibration and rest. Now, this chair has a certain rate of vibration in its makeup. It's kind of dense, really. It's a lot more dense, say, than this paper is. All matter is energy that's vibrating and resting, yes? And it all has its own rate of vibration. It's vibrating at a specific rate for chair, for carpet, for the wall. It all has its vibratory rate. Well, we as human beings have a vibratory rate, yes? We're vibrating beings because we are matter, although the amount of matter that we are could be compressed down to fit on the edge of a tack. That's how much matter we really are, because we're mostly water and we're energy that's vibrating and rest, and there's a rate of vibration. So is everybody kind of along with us at that level? What controls the rate of vibration of our body? Our thoughts do. There is a mechanism which regulates how fast we're vibrating or how slow we're vibrating. And there's like this range of vibration that we go through. You notice when you're depressed, how heavy you feel. It's because our body gets denser. The vibration is slowing down. The body gets denser. When we're in love, praise, and gratitude, our vibration speeds up, right? We get lighter. We feel lighter. We're less dense, okay? So let's look at the thought. What are some of the thoughts that slow our vibration down? Okay, self-doubt, anger. You guys got the thumbs up.
You move on now, friend.
Sadness. How about sarcasm? Yeah, we have jealousy. So you've all had these thoughts, right? But where do they come from? Come from our mind, yes? I'm going to stick with this now. We all know that there's the other, the love, praise, and gratitude, and we know that side, so we'll do that in a little bit here. But I want to stay with this because I think that this is where, with these negative thoughts, is where we're getting into trouble physically. Because the vibration of our body is slowing down. Now that's not so bad in itself. But what the problem is that we are continually being bombarded by all kinds of energy. There's radio waves in this room. All through this room there's radio waves. There's microwaves. There's television. Light rays.
Natural radiation.
Gamma rays. All of these rays are bombarding our body at all the time, right? Mm-hmm. When we're in love, praise, and gratitude and our vibration is faster, those rays pass right through because there's more space. The lighter we are, the more space around the cells, you feel lighter. There's room for those rays to pass through the body. When we're in here, in the negative thoughts, the vibration slows down, the body gets denser. And now these rays are hitting a denser matter. What is the result? It gets damaged. It gets hot. It's just like electricity going through the wire. There's a resistance to it, and it heats up. It's the same with the body. That these gamma rays from the sun and these microwaves and these radio waves and incandescent light, all these rays are penetrating through us. And when our body is dense, it produces heat in a particular part of our body, wherever it's the densest, where these rays get caught up. And that part of the body starts to malfunction. Cancer cells are hotter than healthy cells. And it's this resistance to these rays that we're continually being bombarded with that is causing the breakdown. When we talk about managing your mind and thinking positive, it's not just to be taken lightly. It's that it's detrimental to our well-being to think this way, to hold these thoughts. Doesn't hurt anybody else for us to think this way. It just hurts us. If they take it on, but they don't have to take it on. You can see Barbara go into a room of people who are really down, and she'll pick them up in a minute. She'll have everybody laughing and carrying on. And so it didn't hurt her to go, but because you're playing off of that, she's got hers and you've got yours, and you're sucking into each other's, and it's like that downward spiral, and it gets worse and worse. You get heavier and heavier and heavier, and then these rays that are bombarding us from everywhere start to have resistance from passing through our body, and then we have a breakdown. We all agree, right, that we're not our body? Okay. Okay, so what are some of the light thoughts? So these are like the foundation of a healthy body. If we keep our mind focused in these areas, we have a healthy body. A woman I met about 1976, and she was about in her 70s then, and her name was Alice Stedman. And she wrote a book called Who's the Matter with Me? And she named it Who's the Matter with Me because she was in the Deep South, and she was a Baptist, and she wanted all her friends to read it. But it was a very spiritual book, and it was titled Who's the Matter with Me? Okay, now this person is looking the other way. This person is looking the other way. So this is the right side of the body for this person, and this is the left side of the body. Now, what she's saying is the left side of the body is female, and the right side of the body is male. Now, this is back before Louise Hayes ever came along. Now, what she's also saying is that there's eyes here, a nose, and a mouth, that from the nose up, is ruled by the sun sign of Aries. From the mouth to the throat is ruled by Taurus, the world bankers. The arms are Gemini. The intestines are Virgo. And the feet are Pisces, and I don't remember the rest of them. But that each planet rules a different part of the body. And if you want to get them all, you can order her book, Who's the Matter with Me? But what she's saying is that if you have an upset with an Aries female, you will injure that part of your body, the left eye part of your body. That if you have an upset with an Aries male, you will hurt the right side of your body in the eye area, above the nose area. That each part of the body is affected by a different sun sign, and based on people's astrological signs, if you have an upset with them, you will tend to break down in that part of your body. So instead of looking at them and pointing at them as being the problem, if you look at you and you say, okay, what Taurus male am I upset with? You'll find, you know, the right side of your throat is hurting. You'll say, what Taurus male am I upset with? You find who that person is and you handle it. And you clean it up with that person, and then that part of the body will heal. Taurus is the world bankers, is money. When you have money problems and concerns and worries about money, you'll get throat problems, according to what she's saying. So that not only is our body vibrating, it's reacting and responding to other people's energies as well, other people's vibrations. Any questions so far? Yeah, Doug?
Okay, let's say you don't want to be other people's, let's say, they're in a situation. Sometimes, you know, you walk in and you can feel it or whatever.
Right.
You know, how do you not take that on?
Okay, that's a good question. And we're going to be going into that in just a little bit. I mean, right now we want you to get that your thoughts are controlling the vibration of your body. That's the kind of power that our thoughts have to regulate what happens in our body. It slows the vibration down, and then that part of the body that is the slowest, is the densest, responds to all of this energy that's being siphoned through us all the time anyway.
Question?
Yeah.
I understand this. What you're saying is when we're in our negative state, what'll show up is something that relates to this chart.
Right.
And where we need to look is, if let's say you relate to that chart and say, okay, there's a part of my body that's
broken,
not feeling, or broken down.
Broken down.
We need to look at that and then see where we related to individuals in that area.
Yeah. Who are we upset with from that astrological source?
So that's a way of looking at to source where that negativity was reached out.
Right. Who were we resentful of?
Okay.
Who were we angry with? Who were we enraged at? Who were we jealous of? In order to remain physical, we have to keep our vibration in the physical level of vibration. If we didn't have any of that, what you're talking about, if all we had was love, praise, and gratitude and recognizing our own divinity and who we are, our vibration would speed up until what happened? We would translate. We would be gone. So that's one of the reasons why we hold on to something like you're talking about, to keep the vibration down, to keep us here. Not consciously. But the being that we are knows this. Lisa?
I'm understanding you correctly. So what you're saying is that, like, judgment or unfinished business or any of that is kind of what keeps us on the earth?
Right.
And so making it wrong is kind of a waste of time? Or?
Yeah. Because unless we don't want to stay on the earth. If we're ready to translate and we can't go because we're, you know, down here in the lower vibration, then we could make it wrong. But we've been through lifetime after lifetime of this, so our vibration is getting right on that edge where we can go back home. Being here in the physical. We're guilty about being here in the physical.